Hi, and welcome to today's episode of So What's Up. Today we're talking about why consistent branding is important and why you shouldn't be afraid to make changes to your website. Today I've got Jim and Aaron with me to talk about consistent branding. So, Jim, what do we mean by consistent branding?
I mean, where you have your brand guidelines, you'll have your fonts, your colours, making sure that it is consistent throughout. If you have packaging as well, it'll be the same on your website, through your packaging, through emails, social.
So do we all see examples where clients don't do this well?
A lot.
Okay. And then is that where clients, for example, I mean, I'm just trying to think of a brand that maybe doesn't do it very well, actually. I can't think of the top of my head one, but I'm sure I have seen examples of it from our clients and from other people where you receive something in the post or you see, I suppose the best example actually is you see a social media post or something and then you go to the website and it looks like two completely different businesses.
Yeah. And then when you receive an email,
Email marketing is a good example of that, actually.
Here's a sale, completely different fonts, completely different colours, and you think, is this the same company? Is this real? Your first instance is swipe, delete.
I think you tend to find that those things that you see are maybe potentially knocked out pretty quickly by a marketing person to get something out the door, and then they forget about the brand guidelines that they're actually supposed to be sticking to.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess a lot of the time it is down to the amount of time that you have. Maybe a marketing manager might feel rushed.
Yeah.
You know, they get on Canva, bash something out.
Are you saying Canva is not a perfect design tool for $10?
Well, I mean, it's not something that I personally use, but I mean, it's a great tool for marketing managers where you can put your branding on. But again, it is that.
It's very easy to change it, isn't it? And it's very easy to go, oh, I'll just drop a different font on this graphic and it might look, it looks okay now, but then it deviates massively from their brand guidelines.
Yeah, and, you know, it might be where it's a new marketing manager. They want to try something new. They go, oh, I'll just change that font. Maybe they haven't been supplied the brand guidelines, which is, to me, it's key to keep to.
I mean, so we do brand guideline documents for clients, don't we?
Yes.
I mean, not very many of them, but we do them. In my experience, the smaller the brand guideline document, the more easy the client's going to find adhering to it. Whereas we've got some clients that have got hundreds of pages, and I don't believe any of them have ever once stuck to everything in that document.
No. I think there is one. It's got 132 pages where it goes into how an advert should look on the side of a bus. But you're never going to do that.
No, it was just an exercise in using some time up at some point for some agency, not us, by the way.
As long as you keep to the same font, the same colours, the same type of imagery.
Yeah.
And same type of illustrations as well. You know, that's where it can throw the user and customers.
It's obviously applicable if you're like McDonald's or, you know.
Yeah,
of course, they advertise everywhere. But I mean, Aaron, from your point of view, I imagine it's quite sometimes hard. So if some designer like Jim decides to make a brand guideline document that's just bloody impossible to stick to because he's used a font that's not going to work very well on web or whatever, and then he comes to you and you're going to make a website that looks like the brand guideline document or sticks to it, that's probably quite a frustrating process to try and get it to match up.
Yeah, it can be. Obviously, like you say, with the font specifically, if it can't match up, there's just no way to do it. Unless you're going to spend thousands of pounds generating a web-specific version of that font.
Yeah. Because people don't understand fonts, actually, I tend to find. You know, they're quite complicated pieces of software, fonts are. And yeah, back in the day, people might remember there was a set of sort of standard 7 fonts that every device would be able to load. But obviously, it is a bit different now.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to use Arial or Times New Roman anymore. But
I bet a lot of websites using Arial, so I don't even do that. Actually, I think it might have been, Helvetica Arial.
As long as it's not Comic Sans.
Calibri was the one.
Yeah. As long as it's not Comic Sans.
My first website may have had a Comic Sans marquee scroller on it.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, nice.
With a full on hit counter at the bottom of it.
Bring back marquee scrollers.
With an animated wavy GIF of a flag and everything that was very 90s web design.
How websites have moved on.
I know. But oddly enough, clients still ask us for some of that stuff. It's mad.
yeah.
Anyway, off comic sounds. But so it is difficult sometimes, isn't it, to match the web design brand bit to the print design brand bit.
It can be, and sometimes there do have to be some compromises from the web side. Because if the font doesn't exist and you don't want to spend thousands of pounds, you will have to change the body font for your site. Anything that's sort of in the header, you can keep. You know, if you want to keep your logo with the same font, that's fine. Obviously, that's just an image, but you might have to change the body font if it doesn't match up. But
do we find that as the internet evolves and web standards change a bit like that, this has to be readdressed?
A little bit. I mean, obviously, it's getting easier for designers to be able to develop that with develop their brand guidelines with web in mind.
Yeah.
Obviously.
So like Jim, for example, needs to have an understanding of what he puts in that design document, how that's going to work on web.
Yeah.
Which is where he probably, where it works well having developers and designers that can talk to each other to go, okay, this font, is it going to work or not? You know, before you even get down the route.
Yeah. And there are whole libraries with thousands and thousands of fonts on now that designers can access. If the client isn't willing to pay, obviously, thousands and thousands of pounds for a font.
Yeah.
So there's still flexibility there, as long as the designers keep that in mind when they're designing the guidelines.
Yeah.
I think that's what I mainly try and do when picking a font. If I'm doing a logo or something like that, or where it's going to be, a heading font, I always make sure that there is a web, say, font that comes with it as well.
Yeah.
So I can just send that to Aaron.
Yeah.
And
we can use that in the file when you build it.
Yeah.
Perfect. So just in terms of sort of keeping up with web trends, are we tending to find that when we're sort of looking at branding and things like that, and we're maybe sort of redoing a website we've already done before, so clients come back for like a refresh of their website, we're changing how we do things? So, I mean, a few years ago, it was very much in trend that websites had full screen, full height images and that kind of stuff, and that seems to be going away a bit now.
It depends what sort of site you're going for, really. An e-commerce site, you want it to be as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. If you're going for a showcase site, then obviously big images are great. People want to see that sort of thing. They really want to see it. But if you're developing an e-commerce site, people need to be able to access the site quickly, which means you need to optimize for speed, which means you need to have smaller images.
That's why we're seeing Shopify doing really well as well. I think, You can spot a Shopify website a million miles away, right? So you look at it and go, yeah, it's clearly on Shopify. Even if you didn't go to the checkout, you go, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And they tend to be like that. They tend to be more minimalist, don't they?
They're very focused on mobile optimization.
Yeah, which is, in theory, where all the sales are coming from. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, something ridiculous like 75% of web.
Yeah, something like that. It's crazy. But I'm guessing from a branding point of view, it's quite hard to implement a lot of branding into that website style where you've got, because there's just not opportunity. If you're trying to make it for speed and, fast conversion, and really you've probably got a logo and some product, there's not much branding to bring into that. There's maybe a bit of font and a bit of colours, but that's kind of as far as you can go, really.
It's obviously branding is the whole thing, isn't it? It's not just images. It's your logo. It's your colours. It's the style, the feel of a site as well, or not just the site, but anything that you develop for it. You know, if your branding is a very minimalistic style, very bright, colourful, you're not going to then want to have a grim, dark website.
No, of course. So obviously on style, a good example we've got of one of our own clients is Autobrite Direct, where I think we are on the third or fourth website we've built for them now, something like that, I can't remember. They are a business with a very strong brand identity. You look at any of their products or anything they put out, you go, that is clearly Autobrite. And obviously, Jim, you do a lot of the work for them. So you do their packaging design and their website. You've done the website design as well? I think you've done that.
Yeah, I've been working on their current sort of homepage to product journey at the moment.
Right. So obviously when you've been looking at that, what have you been sort of trying to tie in that kind of what is physically on the shelf with what they're going to see on the website?
With how they've got all their steps as well, you know, their wheels, wash, decon, etc. Mm-hmm. It was trying to find an easier way for the customer to get to the product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it going to be via search? And what I was doing for a while was trying to find nice category images and how do I lay these categories out, especially for mobile. Mm-hmm. And then what I realized is that actually no one's doing this mm-hmm. anymore. So it's trying to get down to the product straight away, getting down to essentials, getting down to the professional products that they use. Mm-hmm. It's trying to find the easiest, the best way for the customer to get down to this product.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, this is the... We're refreshing the website just because they're a client that likes to keep up to date with trends and keep up to date with just having a new look and feel every so often, which is a great thing to do because it gives them another marketing angle as well. I remember last time we did their website and launched it, they had so many good comments from their customers that were using their previous website that, you know, I think it generated a lot of money in sales for them. So it was a great success story, the current website for this client. And hopefully the new one will be as well. Yeah, I think they seem very happy with where we're going with the style direction of it. And, you know, it's just a business where we're continually evolving their, I suppose, their marketing look and feel as they're changing the business as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they're growing up a bit now, aren't they?
Yeah, that's probably a good phrase, growing up, yeah. Yeah, I think, some of their competition has been around maybe a bit longer, a bit more established, and they are probably in the minds of consumers, and Ultrabright are certainly getting there as well now.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. But again, we do this quite a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of clients where we revisit their websites after a few years. And yeah, I can think of loads where we've done 3, 4, 5 websites for a certain client. And over that time, it's just evolved. I mean, not only that, but including ourselves. Yeah, we must be on our 8th or 9th version of our own website, you know, and it's just a thing that we don't have got time to do because we're an agency and we're doing other people's work. But it's just a thing where we have to keep evolving as well. You know, and we try and bring all our branding together, don't we? So that everything we put out matches. I mean, obviously from a marketing point of view, you create some of our assets and I know the whole team work on it. But I would hope that what we put out there does match what's on our website. I mean, I think it does. I don't know if you think otherwise.
No, it definitely does. And especially when we're doing even like a podcast image, it's, you know, finding the right sort of background that would match, but then also laying it all out, it's on the same Illustrator document, so you know whether you're going to be taking it too far away. But you definitely just need to sort of rein it back in. Obviously, every designer is different. Every designer brings something different. Mm. And but it's all about communication.
Yeah,
like communication is definitely key, especially, you know, between designer to developer to designer to you know, your marketing team.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's why it's good having everything in-house.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, which obviously, yeah, we act as an in-house agency essentially for a lot of clients, but they're very integrated with us. Yeah, we know our clients really well from that point of view, and they can just ping over a question and say, can I have this graphic? I felt we had one, I think we had yesterday, a client said, can I have a set of logos for something they were doing? And obviously we're their brand guardians, so we provide them with all the files that they need. And it means everything's consistent and they're not going to be going off piece creating something in Canva that they didn't need that we've already got.
Yeah.
Which does sometimes happen, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, thanks, guys. I think that was really useful. And yeah, if anyone else is looking for a website refresh or is considering how they can tie in their digital marketing campaigns to sort of their website branding and things like that, drop us an email at hello@somarketing.com.